Good afternoon and a very, very warm welcome indeed to this afternoon's service of worship. It's great to be together. It's great to come together as God's family to worship Him on His day and to give Him all the praise and all the glory. Today we are delighted to have Finlay, who is leading us in worship. Thank you, Finlay, for your ministry to us. Finlay will be preaching from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 23, and we look forward very much to what the Lord has laid on your heart for us. Thank you, Finlay. A couple of very important announcements just before I hand over to Finlay. There's a lot going on at the moment. The new arrival, of course, very good news. James and Claire Blackwell are delighted to announce the birth of their son, William Peter Blackwell. He was born on Sunday morning, weighing in at 7 pounds 4 ounces. And baby and mum are both doing fine. So that's really good news. We're looking forward to welcoming them all in the next few weeks to be our minister. And I have to read this edict before the congregation for the next 2 weeks. So please do listen up. In name and by appointment of the Free Presbytery of Skye and Wester Ross, I hereby intimate that in consequence of an application from this congregation, the Presbytery agreed to meet within this church on Wednesday, 7th August 2024 at 7:30 p.m. for the purpose of moderating in a closed call to Reverend James Blackwell, pastoral worker at Fort William Free Church, for filling the vacancy in this congregation, the Reverend Donnie G. MacDonald to preach and preside. So in ordinary English, we will be holding a meeting. It's at the Chocolates of Glenshiel Cafe. It was due to be in the hall, but unfortunately the estate, or well, it's unfortunately, just for us, the estate owners are visiting from the 3rd of August, so we won't be in the hall for the next 2 weeks. So that meeting has had to be moved, and Finlay and Heather, very gratefully, offered the Chocolates of Glenshiel for that meeting. So Wednesday, the 7th of August, at 7:30 p.m., we'll be meeting, and it's to sign a call for James. James hopefully will be there. The presbytery will lead the meeting. And at that meeting, there will be two parts of the call. It's to be signed by communicant members and also to be signed by members of the congregation. So if you're what's called an adherent, so if you feel this is your home congregation, this is your church, then that's the one to sign. And really would entreat with everybody to come to this meeting, to show our support for the call for James. So please do come along that evening and be there if you possibly can. But if you can't, there are little mandate forms at the back of the church. And what that does, it gives permission for one of the elders to sign on your behalf if you absolutely can't make the meeting. The best thing in the world, come to the meeting and sign the call. But if you can't make that meeting, give a mandate to one of the elders and give it to that elder, and they'll bring it along and they can sign the form on your behalf. So there's one for communicant members, it says communicant on it, and the other one's for just ordinary members of the church. That's got an adherent on it. Sorry for all this strange language, but that's the way we have to do things to keep things right. So please do come along to the meeting. If you can't, mandate forms are at the door. Fill them in and give them. They'll be here next week as well, so if you have a chance to do that. Another date for the diary following that meeting, the successful outcome of that meeting, the induction has been set, the presbytery has set the date of induction for Saturday the 24th August at 12 noon, and that will be in Inverenet Hall, God willing. So that's just a wee date for your diaries. As I announced, the estate are visiting, so the hall will be out of commission for the next two Sundays. Next Sunday noon service will be in the Chocolates of Glenshiel Cafe, and the Sunday the 11th, the following Sunday, will be at Dorney Hall. So we'll be on our travels for the next 2 weeks. I'm not sure, is it you or Ken that's preaching next Sunday?
It's me.
It's you, right. So Finlay will be preaching in the Chocolates of Glenshiel Cafe.
Can people, if possible, park up near the campsite?
All right, and then walk back. Yep. Okay, excellent. Yeah. Okay, I'll leave you to read through that at your leisure, and without any more withering on from me, I will hand over to Finlay. Thank you, Finlay.
That's right. I've not tested this for volume. How's that?
Yes.
Okay. Hey. Isn't this exciting? Lots of things going on. It's really a joy for Heather and I to be back with you. Not been here in quite some time. Been away doing lots of different outreach evangelism events away at Teen Ranch, and we were here 2 weeks ago, were we? I can't remember. It's been busy. We were away with a group of young people at a Christian festival in Kinross last week. It was really great. Really grateful for your prayers for that. But it's a joy to be here, a joy to be with God's people, and to worship Him together, and to seek to encourage one another as we seek to serve Him and serve those around us together. We're going to start off by singing Psalm 100 in the Psalter, in the back half of your books on page 362, as we unite with all of God's people on earth on His day to sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, serve Him with mirth, His praise forth tell. Come ye before Him and rejoice. We'll stand and sing the whole of this Psalm 100 on page 362 together.
All people
this morning, that you are good, that your mercy is forever sure, that we can rely on your goodness, on your mercy, on your forgiveness, that we can rely on your truth, God. You are right, you are true, you are love, and you are eternal, God. And all of these things about your character, your goodness and your love, they endure forever. You are eternally good, eternally loving, eternally forgiving, Lord. You have been so gracious to us. We thank you, Lord, this morning. We thank you for the day that we had yesterday in the glorious sunshine, Lord. We thank you for this place that we enjoy that just speaks of your hand in creation, Lord. You are the Lord who made the mountains, who made the seas, who made the skies. And you are the God who made us, who knows us, who knows our inmost thoughts, Lord. You are the one who is behind it all. You are the one who lasts from age to age, the Alpha and the Omega. You are God, and you rule over all things. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who is powerful and mighty and strong. Oh, Lord, we come before you this morning, aware that you do know all things, and you know our hearts, Lord, and you know our minds, you know our thoughts, and you know what we've done. And that's not always a comforting thought, Lord, because we are unfaithful people. We are a people who have gone against what we know is right and good. We are a people who have lied where we should have told the truth. We are a people who have been unfaithful in so many different ways, Lord. We've left things undone that we should have done, Lord. And your Holy Spirit living in us gives us that conscience to know what is right and wrong, and yet sometimes we still choose to go and do the wrong that you so hate, Lord. And we come before you this morning together as brothers and sisters, coming before our Heavenly Father, pleading for mercy, Lord. Would you take us, Lord? Take away our sin. Would you forgive us? Have mercy on us. We rejoice in the hope that you've given us in your word, that you promise us that when we come before you asking for forgiveness, you are not a father who withholds good gifts from his children. You are a father who delights in giving good gifts, in giving that forgiveness to us when we ask for it. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we have heard of the safe arrival of James and Claire's son, Lord. We thank you for him. Thank you for the ways that you've blessed him. We ask that you would be with them in these first few days as parents of three now. Would you be with them? And in such a busy time, Lord, as well as they're preparing to move and preparing to join in with our ministry here, Lord, with your work here. We ask that you would just bless them in their long to-do list, Lord. Would you give them peace and wisdom as they prioritize their time, Lord? We just ask for your blessing on them. Would you bless them as a family so abundantly that that blessing would overflow to us, this church, and to this community, Lord. We rejoice in the provision that you've given us in being able to call a minister. And it's been so long since this parish has seen a minister, Lord, since this church has seen a minister. And we ask that you would bless this work, that you would be in it. And your word tells us, unless you build the house, the workers labor in vain, Lord. So we ask that you would be in this, that you would bless your work here. We ask that you would bless us this morning, that you would build us up, that you would speak to us. Lord, we've not come here to hear words of man. Lord, we've come here to hear your word, to hear the words of life, the words of hope, Lord. Would you speak to us and give us these things this morning? And bless us as we go out into this community, Lord. Would this place be better because we are here? And as we have conversations, ordinary conversations with neighbours, with friends, with people we meet, Lord, would you give us those same words of life to share with those around us, that we would build your kingdom here, that the darkness would fear, Lord, and that this place would be a place of your rule, of your kingdom, and of your life. And we can't do it without you. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing from Psalm 148 in the Sing Psalms. This is a real psalm of praise to God. Oh, praise the Lord. praise him from heaven's height. All angels give him praise, praise him, you hosts of light. Verse 5, oh, let them praise his name, the name of God the Lord, for he created them by his almighty word. It's by God's words. I can't get my head around that. The power in God's words is the power to create and to give life. We were created by a mere word of God. He is powerful and he is good and worthy of all our praise. Let's stand and sing this psalm of praise to him. Psalm 148 on page 194. That tells of the time of Jesus walking on the water. So that's on page 981 of the Church Bibles. Matthew chapter 14, we're reading from verse 22 down to verse 33. This is the word of God. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." God bless this reading of his word to us. Young people, you can just stay on your seats this morning if you like. There's not that many of you, and Annie and Ross aren't going to be running around. Alistair, I would like you to think very hard and tell me something that you're sometimes afraid of. Something that you're sometimes afraid of. What wriggles under your skin? What makes you scared sometimes? Be fearless. Never have any fear. Alexander, something that makes you scared?
Spiders.
We were with the girls coming back from Magnitude on the bus, and all of a sudden we were coming into Dalwhinnie and there was this huge scream, and it was this giant spider that had managed to wiggle its way out from somewhere in the van, and it had a huge egg apparently. Terrifying, and we got off and I just hoiked it out, but then they all leapt to one side of the bus because they were so scared. The idea of me touching it, would that scare you? But to touch a spider. Anything that makes you scared, Alistair? You're still working on it. Andrew, what makes you wriggle?
Sometimes spiders
as well, yeah, absolutely. Maybe being asked questions in church up the front. Olivia, anything that makes you scared?
Spiders
as well. Oh, church full of people scared of spiders. Good thing there aren't any spiders here. Quite often in life, there are lots of different things that can scare us. There's lots of different things that can make us fear. One of the verses we're going to be looking at in the sermon today is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And this is one of the verses that I memorized about a year ago. So I found myself getting scared quite a lot, getting anxious quite a lot. It was a time when things kept on, just lots and lots of little things kept on going wrong all the time, and I just started to get to the point where I'd get a message on my phone, and all of a sudden, before I'd even opened a message, my heart rate would rise, and I found myself fearing. And someone gave me this verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear." The spirit that God's put in us isn't a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. God hasn't given us, the spirit that he's put in us is not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. And the Bible says again and again, like we read in our passage this morning, Peter was scared at first when he saw Jesus walking on the water because they thought he was a ghost. And then when Peter was walking, came out to Jesus walking on the water, he was fine at first, but then all of a sudden he got scared. But Jesus says, what is it? "Take courage. Do not be afraid. It is I." In verse 27. Thanks, Mum. "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And that's the one thing that we can hold on to. Any time in our life, the Bible says again and again, do not be afraid. I am with you. God is always with us. God is in control. We don't need to fear. Psalm 46 says we don't need to fear, even though the mountains give way and waves are crashing around us and things are falling into the sea, we don't need to be afraid because God is our refuge and our strength. He is in control and he is powerful. And we are, the Bible tells us that we are the apple of God's eye. Have you ever managed to touch that middle bit of your eye? Have you ever managed to touch it? You can't really, can you? Because it's so, like, fragile. So, if you were to touch it, you might do it some damage. God says that we are the apple of his eye. That he loves us and wants to take care of us. We shouldn't be afraid because we are precious to him. That doesn't mean that nothing bad's ever going to happen. But it means that ultimately, God will look after us. God will take care of us and give us everything we need. We just need to have him as our refuge. Does that make sense? So when you see a spider, Alexander, do not be afraid. You are the apple of God's eye and he will not let you come to... I'm going to say he won't let you come to harm. That's not necessarily true, but he will look after you. We're going to sing from Psalm 42. I was going to say that's not the end of when you young people should be listening in, because you've got a lovely sermon helper sheet that should help you listen to the sermon and take some notes. And then at the end of the service, Barbara is preparing three questions. Only three, maybe one easier one, maybe one harder one. You've got to be listening very carefully, and there are prizes if you can answer all three questions. Yes. So that's not the end of the time that you're to listen in. We're going to be singing from Psalm 42, and we're going to sing from verses 1 down to 5. So Psalm 148 that we sung is a psalm of praise and of giving glory to God, calling on the whole earth to give praise to God. Maybe that's not the place that you're in this morning. Maybe you're not full of praise and admiration for God, and Psalm 42 is maybe a psalm that would meet you more. That's the amazing thing about the psalms, is there's always a psalm that can meet us where we are and help give voice to our cries out to God. Psalm 42 is talking about someone who's in real distress, who's in real trouble, but is longing for that place that they once were able to praise God, like Psalm 148. They once were there, and they want to be back there. Verse 1 says, "As pants the deer for flowing streams, as thirsty as the deer is, so my heart is, so my soul longs for you, O God." Maybe you're in a place of distress. Maybe you're downcast. Maybe you're disturbed. My soul thirsts for God. Are you crying out to God that he would make himself known to you? When can I meet with God anew? Verse 2 says. Let's stand and sing from verse 1 down to 5 of this Psalm 42 on page 53.
As pants the deer for flowing streams, so longs my soul, O God, for you. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I meet
If you have a Bible with you, keep it open with me at Matthew chapter 14. Like I said, we've been, I love the summer. The summer is a time so often of opportunities of being able to share the gospel. As kids are off of school, we have all these opportunities to be able to do activities and games with them, and all through it to be able to share the gospel with them. Heather and I always try and get down for a week to Teen Ranch, and to see the work there is always so moving and encouraging. And our holiday club that we are running here with the teenagers in the evening. And like I said, we've just come back from Magnitude, and again, being able to listen to and to share the gospel, these words of life that we've been given with the young people, is amazing. And there's been a real theme. For the first week at Teen Ranch, I was speaking on the kingdom of God, and then we did a little bit of that as devos in the morning for the holiday club. And then Heather and I went off to Magnitude, and their theme for the week was the kingdom of God. And I love that way of being able to share the gospel, that God is a king, and he's ruling over all. And our sin is our rebellion against God's kingship, a rebellion against the way that God says things should be done. But he is bringing his kingdom back, and heart by heart, as we say, God, you are my king. I want to live under your rule. Build your kingdom here. God's kingdom is coming person by person. He rules here in me. One day, his kingdom will come completely, and his rule will be over all, and it will be a blissful, perfect day. God's kingdom is coming. But in the meantime, we are called to be Christians. And Christian literally means a little Christ, a little version of Jesus. So we look to the life of Jesus to learn how should we act, how should we behave, how should we go about this life. Look and see Jesus' daily rhythms. I love the wee insights into Jesus' life and his disciplines that we have. What does he prioritize? What are his attitudes to people? What is he like as we seek to become more like him? And we meet Jesus in this passage. At the beginning of chapter 14, we read of the death of John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin, a person that Jesus loved dearly, and who foretold of Jesus' coming. And baptize Jesus. So Jesus has heard of the beheading, a cruel, cruel beheading of John the Baptist, his cousin. And in verse 13, he tried to get away. He tried to withdraw. That's the right way to say it. Tried to withdraw on a boat to get away somewhere completely desolate. But a huge crowd of people follows him to this desolate place, and he has compassion on them and heals them. I presume he probably spoke to them as well. We don't know. But then when they don't have any food, he miraculously provides for all of their needs. So Jesus had that tragic news. He sought to go away and be alone, but these people have followed him, and he's had compassion on them. He's had mercy and sought to provide for their needs. He's tired and probably and really sad and wanted to be alone, but he provides for these people. And he sent the disciples after he dismissed the crowd, or as he was dismissing the crowd, sent the disciples on ahead so that he, we read in verse 23, after he had dismissed them, after he dismissed the crowd and the disciples, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Jesus is prioritizing this time with his Father. Yes, he sought to care for those around him. He had compassion on them. He fed the people. He healed people. But he's still fighting for that time alone. I don't know about you, but so often if I'm trying to have my quiet time, my time away with God, that's such a precious time, but other things come in and try and steal it from you. They come in and try and sneak it away, distract you. So often if you're, I find that I get a lot more notifications on my phone if I ever go on the Bible app. I open up the Bible app and all of a sudden these notifications trying to distract me, trying to steal away my attention. It's one of the big advantages of a paper Bible. You don't have notifications on a paper Bible. This quiet time, this time away with God is precious. And prayer, what is prayer? What would you say prayer is, Sheila? Welcome to this church. I'll put you on the spot right away. Sorry, what? Talking to God. Talking to God is a conversation with God. Christianity is really just a relationship, a restored relationship with our Heavenly Father. Prayer looks different in different times, different circumstances. So if you take my relationship with Heather, Heather's favourite activity to bring her up in a sermon, Heather and I will talk and be with each other in lots of different ways. There'll be a time that we have a meal together. I'll make a nice meal and we'll have a long evening conversation and we'll just spend time having a really good catch-up. We'll do a similar thing if we're on a long car journey, going somewhere together. We'll just spend the whole car journey talking together sometimes. And that particularly because we were so far away when we were dating. Quite often our time spent together was these long car journeys, having a big long catch-up. Other times our relationship will look like having an argument and we'll spend a long time arguing and debating over something, wrestling over what the right way to do something is or what to prioritize. Other times our conversation will just look like short wee snippets of very business or, oh, have you remembered we need to do this? Or, oh, can you do this? Can you do this? Just little wee snippets. Sometimes it will be really long conversations. Sometimes it will just be wee snippets. And sometimes if we're really exhausted, if we're just completely knackered, our time together will look like just sitting down and watching a movie or just sitting down and reading books together. As even though all of these are part of our relationship, part of our conversation, it looks very different for different circumstances. And so should our prayer life. Our prayer life isn't just scripted liturgies to God all the time. Our prayer life shouldn't just be, it should involve the wee arrow prayers, wee, God, please help me with this right now. God, please, can you do this? It should involve that. But we should also have that time where we have a big catch up with God, where we have a big unburdening with God, where we have those long, Jesus is taking himself away to go up the mountainside, to have a real, probably an unburdening. He's in the wake of the death of his cousin. He needs to find time to go and speak to his Father, speak to God. And if we only had one of those ways of communicating with God, if I only had one of those ways with communicating with Heather, if Heather and I were always just chilling together, if we always were watching movies or just sitting in the same room reading books together, but never actually spoke to one another, you would probably think that we didn't have a very healthy relationship. Or if the only time that I spoke to Heather was just, can you do this? Or can you do that? You would think, I'm not sure they have a very healthy relationship. If we spent all of our time arguing, debating with one another, never actually coming to a consensus and moving on, you would probably think that we didn't have a very healthy relationship. So is our relationship with God. Our relationship with God should involve these wee snippets. It more than likely will involve arguments with God, where we feel like God doesn't see us, when we feel like God isn't acting right. He always is and he always does, but there will be times in our life where it just feels like he isn't, and he wants us to bring those things to him and to argue them with him. And there'll be times when we have just those short snippet requests. Our prayer life should involve all of these things. But most of all, we should fight for those times with God. Jesus. Yes, he has these huge crowds of people come to him. He seeks to bless them. He has compassion. He sees that the right thing isn't to do to just walk away and leave them in the wilderness. He sees that he should feed them, that he should heal them. But once he's done that, he dismisses them. He dismisses his disciples and goes away on his own to pray with his heavenly Father. We should fight for these times in our lives. Have our big catch-ups, have our arguments, have our wee requests, and fight for them. Fight for our time in prayer with our heavenly Father. Once he's finished praying, he was praying a decent amount of time because the disciples have been battling the wind. There's times I remember from my primary school days. Was it primary school or high school that we used to go over to Lochcarron to the sailing club there? High school, probably. I remember it just felt like you would be trying to go in one direction and you'd be faster walking. A wee hint to what's to come. You'd be faster walking because the wind is so strong against you. Jesus has been away praying, and even though the wind is really strong against the disciples, they've managed to get a considerable distance, verse 24 says, and the boat already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. So Jesus had been away for a long time, and the boat had managed to get a long way away, but the wind was strong against it. I'll just read this bit out from verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." What a power move. Jesus sees the boat is far away, that they're struggling to get in the wind so much. Jesus just walks out to them. Jesus walks out on the water. This is a clear demonstration. This is no ordinary man. This is not a mere man. This is someone who rules over the waters, who can make the water solid enough to stand on for his purposes. This is a real power move. Jesus is not just a man. He is the Son of God. He is God. And this bit after it from verse 26 makes me encouraged that the words we're reading are true. Verse 26 says, "When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear." The account that we have that Jesus actually walked on the water is from these disciples. And if you were a group of disciples, a group of people that were trying to make a friend that you had that died look like God, and you were recording the story, you would maybe say, "And we were battling the winds on the boat, and a man came, our friend came out walking towards us, and we said, 'Oh, praise you, you are able to walk on the water.'" This is encouraging to me that these words are true. They record that their friend, Jesus, walked on the water and that they were scared, that they were terrified, that they were shaking in their boots. But Jesus says to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Does anyone know how many times our Bibles record, our Word of God records these words, "Do not be afraid"? 365 times our Bibles say, "Do not be afraid." What's a number similar? What other thing has 365, Alistair? The days in the year. Our Bible has God saying to us, "Do not be afraid." One day for every day of the year. Being afraid, being terror, being in terror, being scared, that's not part of God's kingdom. God's kingdom isn't a kingdom of terror, of being scared. God tells us, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid once for every day of the year. There's a different kind of fear that's a fear and respect and reverence of the Lord that is a healthy thing. That's not what we're talking about. Do not be afraid is talking about that sort of that anxiety, that fear, that terror. That is not part of God's kingdom. That is the sin in our lives, making us doubt the providence of our Heavenly Father, making us doubt and not trust our Heavenly Father. And we have, once for every day of the year, our Bibles tell us, do not be afraid. Why should we not be afraid? Why does Jesus tell them to take courage? It is I. It is I. And that promise we have, so often through, is it Joshua that every other sentence feels like, do not be afraid, take courage, take heart. God, do not be afraid, for I am with you. God is with us. That is the basis that we build our do not be afraid on, because God, the one who rules over all things, the one who controls all things, is with us. His Holy Spirit, part of him, dwells in us. And we are the apple of his eye. We should not be afraid. We are not alone. We are children of God. Would he leave us to come to ruin? We are the apple of his eye. We should not be afraid, for he is with us. And fear can have a horrible, crippling impact on our lives. If we're stuck in anxiety, if we're stuck in fear and terror, it keeps us from living our lives the way God wants us to. It keeps us from following his desires for our life. It keeps us from fulfilling our potential, the potential that God has made us for. He has a purpose for every one of us. He has people that he wants you to reach. He has things that he wants you to build, part of his kingdom. He has called you to build his kingdom. And fear can be the thing that so often stops us from that. God says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. And fear can often cloud your judgment and your thoughts, that like heart-racing anxiety. Stops you from thinking clearly. You can't think straight. Hear that verse, that 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. In God's kingdom, fear will be gone. God is in control of everything. That's not what he created us for. He didn't create us to be scared. There are two different types of fears. We can have a rational kind of fear that's very useful. If you see a poison spider right in front of you, it's maybe not a bad thing to be scared of it because it'll cause you to run away from it. But that kind of irrational fear that even if you see a photo of that poisonous spider, that's not something we should be afraid of. The kind of fear of drowning in a storm in the sea is maybe a rational fear. When Peter, we read that Peter steps out on the water and he sees, he's able to walk on the water at first, but he sees all the storms and the waves around him, takes his eyes off Jesus. It's maybe not an unreasonable thing to be afraid of drowning in that moment. Jesus calls Peter out on the water. Peter suggests it first. Verse 28, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. It's Peter's wee spark, Peter's wee idea. And God has given us all ideas and gifts and things that we're good at. But Jesus calls him. Jesus says, come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. It's a rational fear Peter has. Peter doesn't normally walk on water. If Peter were to step out onto water in a normal day, in a normal life, he would drown. He wouldn't be able to stand up. Jesus, this was my real, like, I want to speak on this on Sunday. Jesus calls Peter. He says, come and do something that you cannot do. Jesus calls Peter, come and do something that's not within your capabilities. Peter cannot walk on water, but Jesus calls him to step out onto the water. That's not within his normal gift set. It's not within his normal talents. It's not within his capabilities, but Jesus calls him to do it. Jesus is calling us often to do something that's not within our capabilities, that's not within our gift set, that's not within our talents, that's not within our abilities as people. Jesus is calling us to do something that we are not able to do. But Peter does walk on the water because of Jesus. It's not within Peter's abilities, but we've just seen Jesus walk on the water. He is able, and he is the one that gives Peter what he needs in that moment to be able to walk on the water. And as for as long as Peter is looking at Jesus and has his faith and trust in Jesus, he is able to walk on the water. He is able to do something that he's not able to do. Sorry for that oxymoron. That doesn't make sense, does it? But Jesus calls Peter to something he's not normally able to do and gives him everything that he needs. He can in Jesus, in faith in Jesus. Jesus is calling us impossibly to build his kingdom, to transform the lives of those around us. I can't do that. I see the outside of people. I can change someone's hairstyle, probably not in a positive direction. But God is able to not only work on the outside, but on the inside. Man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. He is the one who is able to transform lives. But that's what God calls us to do. If we have our eyes fixed on him, if we have him as our focus, we can. So do not be afraid, for he is able. In the Great Commission, he promises that he will be with us always until the very end of the age. With Christ, we are not afraid. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. It's his work. And I'm not denying that we will never be afraid. The disciples were afraid more times than I can count on two hands, probably. But often it just takes that wee 5 seconds of bravery, that short, just plucking up the courage for that one moment, putting your trust that God is able to work through it, that, would you mind if I prayed for you? Asking someone, would you mind if I prayed for you? That feels so scary to do in the moment. It's fearful to offer that to someone, but God is calling us to take those wee 5 seconds of bravery. Would you mind if I read the Bible with you? There's a passage that really comes to mind when I hear what you're saying. Would you mind coming to church with me? Would you mind if I shared a quote with you? I had the very blessed opportunity to share one of my favorite quotes from Mother Teresa with Sue, who's working on our campsite last night. She'd had some very problematic customers. And I shared a quote with Mother Teresa that talks about people often being unreasonable and not nice. But God calls us to be generous and nice to them anyway. Because it's not between us and them. It's between us and God anyway. We're not nice to people because we expect to get niceness back. we're nice to people because we know a God who has been nice to us. That puts it very mildly. Those wee 5 seconds of bravery, those challenging someone's world position, those offering, I think that's the biggest one that we have opportunities to do for if people are sharing a difficult situation with you, to be able to pray for them. That doesn't require any faith on their part, but just a showing that you care for them and that you know a God who is in control of all things. To be able to pray for them. What wee moments of bravery, of fearlessness, is God calling us to? He is with us. And with him, we can get ourselves into situations we know we can't handle. We know humanly, I cannot walk on water. No, humanly, there's lots of different things that we can't do, but sometimes God calls us, not all the time, but sometimes God calls us to go into these situations that we are unable to handle on our own so that he can move, so that he can demonstrate that he is powerful. No one thought that Peter was walking on water because he was really gifted and talented and all of a sudden could walk on water. Everyone that was there saw Peter was walking on the water because he had his eyes fixed on Jesus. He is able. I can't, but he calls me there. And through Christ in me, through the Holy Spirit at work in me, and in those around me, he is able. We shouldn't doubt or minimize what God is able to do through us. Don't put God in a box that's constrained to your abilities, to what you think you're able to do. Because God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever understand, we could ever imagine. Now, I found myself writing this yesterday and just pleading on God to forgive me for the ways that I have limited him, for the ways that I have thought, oh no, I can't do that, and not done something. Forgive us, Lord, when we limit his power. He is powerful. He is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever understand. Verse 31. Jesus reaches out his hand to Peter and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? I don't know about you. You could maybe hear that in a telling off voice. Why did you doubt? Shouldn't have doubted. I hear it much more in a gentle, Peter, why did you doubt me? In that love and care. We shouldn't doubt God. Verse 32, 33. And when they climbed into the boat and the wind died down, those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. This man that we follow, this man that we worship, isn't just a man. He is God. Don't let fear rule your life. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of self-control. Psalm 27, verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And finally, Colossians 3, verse 15 says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Do not let fear consume your life. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I found it really helpful to memorize that 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. So when I fear my heart racing, when I fear my heartbeat start to rise and fear come up within me, I can tell myself, God did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. I can step out and do what I am unable to do. I can go where I am unable to go in and of myself, because it is not I who go there. It's not just me who is doing it. It is Christ in me who is doing it. And most importantly of all, what our hope rests on, what our confidence is built on, is that one day, either when we die or when Jesus comes again, that you and I can go to the gates of heaven. You and I can go where we ourselves are unable to go. We are unworthy to go. We can do what we are unable to do, not because of anything of I, but through Christ in me. Nothing of myself I bring. Purely, wholly to your cross I cling. We can go where we are unable to go. We are sinners. We are rebelling against God's kingdom. We don't deserve anything of it. But Jesus has opened the way. He has given us hope and life and power over fear. And we will one day go where we are unable to go and do what we are unable to do. Not through anything of I, but through Christ in me. This is the gospel we have, not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control forever. Amen. We're going to try and sing a song that I know many of you will have never sung before in your life, but it's one of my favourites and tied in so well with it. And it's a nice, easy one to sing. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There's no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness, my goodness. That's when we get to heaven, it's because of Jesus' righteousness that we get in. He is my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. I would encourage as many of you to sing along as possible, but if you're finding yourself struggling, which you hopefully won't, just focus on the words. The words are beautiful, and let God speak to you through them and give you that hope through them. Let's stand and sing this song together.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home, and day by day I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and give you peace.